Matthew chapter 26. When you look at this chapter, after chapter 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, we realize now that, you know, nothing else can be recorded. It's been recorded. Now we're coming to the conclusion of the story, which means we're going to be studying the passion of Christ, his sufferings, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. These are important things. These are the things that are scriptural and they're doctrinal that we need to know. So when he begins now chapter 26, he says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished, 24 and 25, all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up and to be crucified. So right away he begins to open to them. He's taking them back to the book of Exodus chapter 12, the first Passover, when they were in bondage, in prison, in Egypt, 430 years. And when the angel of death came, if you remember, so the angel of death in the last plague, God was going to kill the firstborn. He said, and what you need to do if you believe in God, he says, you need to take a lamb, kill it, take the blood, and hit the both sides of the doorpost, which is the sign of the cross, redeemed. And the angel won't kill your child. You go way back there, that was the first Passover. First. Ever. First. And from that point on, until Jesus came, the Passover has been kept by the Jews. And Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This was the time, according to God's will, where his son would become the Passover Lamb. And when I was studying it and just kind of reading a couple of things here, you know, that it was a memorial of their deliverance from Egypt. And what's Egypt? The world. We have been delivered from the world. Then why is it that we always want to go back to the world? We shouldn't. In the world, it's like the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, and when they got to the other side, started murmuring, complaining, oh, we wish we were back in the world. They gave us leeks and we had all these onions and cucumbers and all these things. And Moses says, really? When you were in bondage, chained up, getting beaten, and you thought that was freedom? And here God has freed you. He took you out of Egypt, out of the world. He's taking you now through the Red Sea, and the Red Sea through the wilderness, through the Jordan River, to the promised land. And remember what happened to the people of God when they came out of Egypt. They went to the Red Sea. They parted and went through. Then they got to the other side, the wilderness, only an 11-day journey. 11 days from Egypt to the promised land. It took them 40 years. You know why? Murmuring and complaining. Everyone that was old died on the other side. The only ones that went to the other side were the young, the new generation. The old generation died because of unbelief. And when you look back at the Old Testament, and then you look at Jesus, I had to go back to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. I mean, all the sacrificing there. And imagine how they felt. The leaders wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. But you have to remember, Jesus was operating in a divine time. It was God's timing. Remember, they wanted to make him king. Well, my time is not yet. He always say that. And now what he's going to do, now he knows the time has arrived that I'm going to be killed. He gets off the Mount of Olives. He starts walking down. And then again, verse 2, and you know that after 2 days, it says, is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be what? Crucified. Crucified. He's going to be killed. The Passover was celebrated for a period of 7 days. It began on the 14th day of the month, at the end of March and April. And it ran all the way to the 21st day of the month. And thirdly, the Feast of Passover was sometimes called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. because leaven is a type of sin. And then the reason is because during the seventh day, the Jews would what? Would actually eat the unleavened bread. They take the leaven out of it, according to the scripture, because leaven was always a type of sin. It still is. You know, when, remember the leper came along and the leprosy was upon his life. Leprosy also is a type of sin. Leprosy was killing him. And when Jesus touched him and healed him, there was no more leprosy. Sin was gone away from him. So you have all these types in the Old Testament and in the New Testament too. Now, preceding the Passover on the 10th day of the month, the head of the family separated from his flock 1-year-old lamb without blemish and would kill it to present it for himself according to Exodus 12 verses 3 to 6. I mean, everything going back to the present time. And then on the 14th day of the month, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the lamb was killed. Remember when Jesus was killed, he hung on the cross for 3 hours? At 12 o'clock noon to 3 was darkness. And you think of 3 days, well, 3 days speaks of the resurrection too. And then when you think of what he did here, because it's a picture of what happened in Egypt when the lamb was killed. And the blood was poured out, and the blood was put upon the doorpost on both sides so the angel of death would pass over them as protection. And then Jesus Christ comes, he dies, and his blood is poured out for each one of us to cleanse away every one of my sins. Because he loves us, and he cares for us. And then verse 3, he says, then the chief priests, here are the troublemakers here. And the scribes and the elders, they hated Jesus. He says, of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, whose name was called Caiaphas. And then the other one was Annas, two high priests. Caiaphas and Annas were the high priests. Now, when you see this here, notice what it says again. He says, and of the elders and the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. Now, their goal was to kill Jesus. That's their goal. They don't care. The leaders here were not only religious, but they didn't have a relationship with God. And you know what? That's the way it is today in so many churches. They have great religion, but no relationship with God. You know, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you can't do the things that you want to do because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ, then you can do whatever you want to do without any conviction at all. And this is what's so cool about having Jesus in my life when you become born again of the Holy Spirit. Because the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees here not only hated Jesus, but they were trying to convince Rome to go ahead and kill Jesus because the Jews could not do that. They could accuse him, but they couldn't kill him. And that's why Pilate was used to kill Jesus. And we'll see that. In verse 4 he says, and let me go back again if I can read the whole thing. Then the chief priests and the scribes, elders of the people, assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. Notice that. They were planning. They were looking for a way to kill him. Verse 5. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Hey, let's don't do anything because the people, they wanted to kind of kick back so the people would not attack them because they're the leaders. But say, okay, let's just kind of kick back. Let's wait. And the perfect time will come when we can get him to Pilate. And then we can kill him. The setting of the plot here. But yet, who's in control? Jesus. God's in control. Verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, remember he had been healed, the leprosy, a type of sin, he says, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he was sitting at the table. Can you imagine? He's sitting at the table. Remember, there's no seats. He's on a pillow, reclining on the table. She comes up, opens his bottle of perfume, and just pours it on his head, and it goes all the way down his body. All down his body. You know who this is? Mary, the sister of Martha. Look what it says. Verse 8. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant. Notice, indignant. Resentment entered their hearts, saying, why this waste? I mean, here's Jesus. Why this waste in this perfume when the King of Kings is sitting right before them? In the other gospel, it says it's not the disciples, it was Judas. Remember, he was the bookkeeper. He had the gold and silver. And he was saying, man, this could have been sold for more money. Why are we wasting it on him? Sad. How sad that we see that here. For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Notice that. Given to the poor. He didn't want to give it to the poor. He was just making that up. Verse 10. But when Jesus was aware of it, notice he's aware of what's going on. He said to them, hey, you guys, why do you trouble this woman? What's the matter with you guys? Don't you see her love? Don't you see that she loves me? Don't you see that she's doing this not to please you or to please me, but she's doing it out of the kindness of her heart? How many times we misjudge people? We don't know their motives. These guys were judging this woman. They didn't even know her motives. But Jesus knew her motives. Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. Verse 11. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. They still don't get it. I'm leaving. Don't you guys get it? I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me. By the way, Peter, you're going to deny me. Lord, I would never deny you. I'll die for you. Okay, Peter, let's wait till tomorrow. See what happens. Verse 12. For in pouring this fragment oil on my body, she did it for what? My burial. Isn't that interesting? For my burial, I'm going to die. And she has put this oil over my body. Verse 13. Assuredly, I say to you, where this gospel is preached, so here we are tonight, in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So here we are telling the story again, 2,000 years later. And then verse 14. And then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? Can you believe that? How can you do that after being with Jesus for 3.5 years? Watching the miracles, watching the wonders, watching his kindness, his love, his mercies. Judas here, after seeing the miracles, you know what it reminded me? How many Judases are in the church? They've seen the miracles, the wonders, I mean the love of Christ, and then they betray the Lord. They betray Jesus. For just 30 pieces of silver, which is nothing. It was the payment of a slave. The payment of a slave. How sad, how sad. And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Notice that. 30 pieces of silver here is the value of the wages for 120 days' work. 120 days' work. And for 30 pieces of silver was the price of owning a slave. You could buy it for 30 pieces. Verse 16. So from that time, Judas sought an opportunity to what? To betray Jesus. Imagine that. But according to God's divine time, not Judas's time. Verse 17. And on the first day of the feast, notice, of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Lord, where do you want us to go? Where do you want to eat? And how sad it is, you know, that now he knows his time is up. Then the answer, go into the city of a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. Notice that. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. We don't know if he did it before, talked to this person, and set it up. We don't really know that. But I mean, God can do whatever he wants to do to share with this guy. So verse 19. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when evening had come, notice this, he sat down with the 12, And what did he do? And now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Imagine that. One of you is going to betray me. Now, you know, when you go to Israel, if we get there on a Friday, let's say we fly in Friday afternoon to Israel. Friday, probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they begin to close on everything because they begin their Sabbath day, Friday night. And their Sabbath goes from 6 o'clock Friday to 6 o'clock Saturday night. And then they begin a new week. For us, Sunday is the day that we rest, and then on Monday, we begin a whole new day. So here we see Jesus, right? This is amazing here, that in the evening between probably 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the evening, that as he's doing this whole thing, saying, "Look, you guys, go upstairs, let's get things ready, I'm going to get killed, I'm going to be killed, and let's do this, let's take supper together." And Judas is right there, and he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Can you imagine? Oh, is it me, Lord? Is it me? They're looking around. Well, who is it, Lord? And then he says this, "And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?' And he answered and said," watch this, "'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me.'" Who is that? Judas. Judas. "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better or good for that man if he had never, ever been born." I mean, can you imagine what he's saying here? Full wrath of God. Verse 25, "And then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, is it I?' He said to him, 'You said it. You said it, Judas.' He got up and he split." He left. Verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body.'" Notice that. The Passover time. "And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. And for this is my blood in my new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Isn't that neat? In my Father's kingdom. This is the last time. And then verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." So they get out of this house, they start walking down out of the Mount of Olives, and they start singing Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. If you want to write that down, go home and check it out. Psalm 113 through 118. And probably the 118 was the greatest. Verse 31. "And then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, Zechariah 13:7, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be" what? "Scattered." Will be scattered. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee." What are you talking about? The resurrection. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise. I'll meet you guys in the Galilee. "And then Peter answered and said to him," here's good old Peter, "'Even if all made to stumble because of you, I, Peter the rock, will never be made to stumble.'" How many times we say something when we shouldn't say anything? Just to keep quiet better. Check this out, his response, Jesus' response. "And Jesus said to him, 'Surely, I say to you, Peter, this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.'" You gotta be kidding me, Lord. He says, but Peter said to him, "Listen, Lord, you didn't hear me the first time? Listen to me again. Even if I have to die with you," oh boy, "'even if I have to die for you,'" he should have said, "'even if I have to run when they're killing you,'" because he was running. "'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.'" And how many times did he deny them? Three times. Three times. "And so said all the disciples, 'Yes, amen, we're going to do the same, Lord.' And then Jesus came to them to the place called Gethsemane." Notice that, Gethsemane. "And said to the disciples, 'Sit here.'" Well, I go and pray over there. Now, what he does is he takes three of them, Peter, James, and John, and he began to be sorrowful. Notice, not happy, sorrowful and deeply distressed. I mean, this is God. This is Jesus, God's Son. And he's distressed and sorrowful, deeply. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. You guys, stay here and watch with me. I want you guys to stay alert. The word watching means stay alert. Don't go to sleep. Watch. And then he says, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face. Now, you know what I thought about here? Is that you see Jesus always on his knees praying. On his face. For me, I think that's the greatest place to when you pray, because then you can't be distracted. You're not looking at anybody. You're not really listening to anything else, but you're really concentrating when you have your head by your knees and you're just sitting there just kind of waiting upon God, not only to speak to you as you're worshiping and praising him and honoring him. And sometimes I'll put my Bible on the floor. So that as I have nothing to say, I read the scriptures. And I believe the scriptures. And then as I'm sitting there on my knees there, the Holy Spirit will speak to me through the Word of God, which is so cool. And I'll start underlining. Wow, God, that's so cool. Thank you for giving me this. Try it. You'll like it. He goes on to say, verse 42, and again the second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, he says, your will be done. Notice that. Because again, in verse 41, look what he said again. He says, the Spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. They should have known that. He knew already. These guys, instead of praying, they're going to go to sleep. The flesh, they went to sleep. And because they went to sleep and they didn't pray, what happened? They denied the Lord. They entered into temptation. He says, if you pray, it's going to help you to stand by the Spirit of God. And then he says, verse 43, and he came and he found them praying. Is that what your Bible says? Sleeping again, second time. For their eyes were heavy. You ever see somebody with heavy eyes? Leave me alone. Don't talk to me right now. He says, so he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then verse 45. And then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping? Notice loving, kind words. Are you guys still sleeping, resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. He says, are you guys ready to what I'm going to go through? Verse 46. Hey, let's get up, you guys. There's probably a period of time between here where they were sleeping, and then Judas coming across the Kidron Valley. Because he says, get up, you guys, and let us be going. See that my betrayer is at hand. Imagine my disciple. Literally, Judas was never a disciple. He was never born again of the Holy Spirit. His heart was never with Jesus. Like so many people, sometimes say, well, I'm a Christian. You are? Well, where's your commitment to Christ? And then he says, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, over 500. We notice the other gospel says over 500. With great multitude, with swords, clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Can you imagine 500 for one person with torches and swords to take him? And who's leading the pack? Judas. And now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, okay, you guys, listen carefully. When I cross this bridge and I get to that garden, when you see me kiss Jesus, you'll know who he is. And his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one sees him. Sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. So this is a passionate kiss of love here, which means this is not only sickening, Okay? Judas kissing Jesus with a passionate kiss when he was the traitor, the betrayer. How sad. How sad that people can talk about Jesus and at the same time not even know his love and grace and mercies. Never know him intimately as Lord and Savior. And then he says in verse 50, and Jesus said to him, friend, notice a beautiful friend, why have you come? It's not that he didn't know, he's asking him. And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Imagine. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck the servant Malchus, a high priest, and cut off his ear. You know this? That's Ninja Samurai Peter. Who else do you think it is? He wasn't going for the ear, he was going for the head. But he got the ear. In the other gospel, it says that Jesus picked up the ear and put it back in Malchus's head. Imagine that. But Jesus said to him, Peter, put your sword into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or, don't you know, Peter? He says that if I pray to my Father that he will provide me instantly with more than 12 legions of angels. 12 legions of angels? You got to be kidding me. Let me give you an illustration. You go back to the Old Testament, which is so cool. Hezekiah the king. He's in Jerusalem. The king of Assyria wants to invade Jerusalem. So what does he do? He gets a runner, writes a little document, throws it over the wall of Jerusalem. Hezekiah, you know, one of the servants picks it up, brings it to Hezekiah. He opens it up and says, tomorrow, if you don't surrender, we're going to take the city and we're going to kill everybody. He takes a scroll of the threatenings. He lays it before the Lord. And the Lord says to him, Hezekiah, don't worry. Go to bed and get a good night's sleep. Do not worry about this. He had peace, went to sleep. The next morning, the Lord woke him up early. He says, I want you to go on top of the wall. I want you to look out. So he runs up there, looks out, and he sees all these Assyrian, you know, 185,000 troops surrounding Jerusalem. But they're all dead. One angel. Can you imagine 12 legions of angels? That would have been disaster. They would have killed everybody. Think of the power of God and those that are not only in his kingdom, the church. All of these angels in heaven, I mean, if you read the book of Revelation chapter 5, billions of angels, billions, around the throne of God, worshiping, singing. And imagine when Satan fell, according to Revelation 12, verse 10, he said what? He says that he saw Satan fall like lightning. One third of the angels, out of the billions of angels, followed Satan, which became the demons today. And Satan, all those demons, one day are going to end up in the lake of fire with every person that has ever gone to hell. Hell, death, Antichrist, false prophet, and every wicked person will end up there. And yet people don't understand that. They do not understand that. That Jesus knows exactly what he's done and what he's going to continue to do. And then he says, verse 53 here. He says, and don't you know that I can pray now, my Father, he will provide me with a legion of angels. And then how could the scripture then be fulfilled that it must be happened this way? Peter, how is the scripture going to be fulfilled if you're trying to help me? This has to be fulfilled. I'm walking by my Father's divine time. I'm not here by coincidence. Everything is by God's divine time. And then he says, in that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out against a robber with a sword and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me? I mean, here he says, okay, you guys, here I am. Why didn't you take me before? Why are you doing this now? But all this was done that the scriptures, underline that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Otherwise, it's not the word of God. This is what was said. Now it's going to get fulfilled. They said it in the Old, it's fulfilled in the New Testament. That's why it's important to understand prophecy. When you go back to the old and you read the Old Testament, and then you come to the new, you go, oh yeah, I read about this, and here it is. It came to pass. Fulfillment. And then he goes on to say, in those, verse 57, and those who had to lay a hold of Jesus, they led him away. Caiaphas, the high priest, with the scribes and the elders were assembled. So here's the plot now. And Peter, here's good old Peter, Lord, I would die for you. Peter followed him, how? At a distance. Notice that, at a distance. Why was he next to him? Peter, what happened? Distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He's not even sitting with you. He's sitting on the other side watching the whole trial. And now the chief priest, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. They're looking for people to lie and say, yes, we saw him do this, accusing him. But they found nobody. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found no one. But at last they found, notice, two false witnesses that came forward, two of them, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Notice what they're saying. Was that something that was not right? Did he lie about that? Of course not. They were not spiritual people. He was talking, remember, he told us of his body. You're going to kill me, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. This is why he said, notice, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And then he says, and the high priest got up and said to him, do you answer nothing? Don't you defend yourself? What does these men testify against you? Can you imagine Jesus standing there defending himself? He doesn't have to defend himself. But Jesus kept silent. Isn't that cool? And then the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath, notice, by the living God. Who's God? Excuse me, God's right in front of you. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Notice that. Are you the Son of God? Well, let me say this, I am God. But so sad. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Amen. Nevertheless, I say to you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. He says, now do you see me now? You're going to see me at the second coming when I'm coming to rule and to judge. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise. I'm going to go, but I'm coming back again. Then the high priest tore his clothes. You know, they get real violent. They're very emotional. Then the high priest tore his robe, his clothes off, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of a witness? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. Can you believe that? What do you think? And they answered and said, he is deserving of death. That's sad. Not guilty, but they want to kill him. Then they did what? This is so horrible. They spat on his face. You know, in Israel, it's an insult to spit. We were there at the Garden Tomb one day, and two taxi drivers are Arabs, and they were arguing with each other. It's funny, I was watching them, you know. I said, oh, this is going to be blowsy pretty soon, you know. And all of a sudden, the guy stops, he goes, right in his face. And then he goes, back and forth for 20 minutes. That's an insult. That's what they were doing. I was just, what? Spinning back and forth. You know, it's so gross, you know. But here he is, Jesus, they spit right in his face. And what do they do? They beat him. What do you think on the day of judgment, when these that spit on his face and beat him? I hope they accepted him. But imagine when they're judged by Jesus. Saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Notice, Christ. Who is the one that is striking you? Tell us, who hit you? And now Peter said outside, here he is again in the courtyard. And a servant girl came to him saying, hey, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. Shh, don't say that. Keep quiet. Verse 70, but he denied it before them all. Lord, I would never deny it. I would fight for you. I will die for you. Saying, I do not know what you're talking about. Notice that. I don't know what you're talking about. And when he had gone out, to the gateway. Another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus." Can you imagine? She screamed it out. This guy here, he was with Jesus. But again, he denied an oath. "I don't know the man." Second time, two strikes, three you're out. 73. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." The Galileans had an accent, not like mine, but a different accent. You could tell he was from Galilee because of the accent that he had. It says, and then Peter, notice, began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Can you imagine how he must have felt? The Lord told me, and I didn't listen. The difference between Peter and Judas, Peter had a broken heart. Judas could care less. Peter repented, not Judas didn't repent. Look what it says. And immediately, the rooster crowed. Can you imagine? Just like Jesus had said, the fulfillment of what Jesus had said. And then he says in verse 75, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And so what does Peter do? He goes out and weeps bitterly. That's a sign of what? Repentance. The failure of my weakness of my flesh. True repentance. I have failed, but he's forgiven me. He's forgiven me and he's restoring my life. That's what Jesus does with each one of us individually. I don't care how you've tripped and fallen here. Jesus is always there to lift you up. To lift you up because he loves you so much. Father, thank you so much for your grace and love and mercy, Jesus. Lord, I pray for these wonderful people, Jesus. For these young men and women, Lord God. And Lord, we ask you that you would have your way in each one of our lives, Jesus. Lord, strip us from self. And Lord, help us to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross and to follow you, Lord Jesus.